You're listening to Studio 865 Flipside, and you are listening to specifically the music of High School from the new recording. It's called Arriving. Jeff High School is here to talk about it. That's which is very fortunate since it's your record.
Yes.
Are you happy with it?
Yeah, I am. I'm very, very happy with it.
Are you usually? I mean, when you've made quite a few records at this point.
No. No, usually I'm not.
Usually how do you feel?
I hear all of the flaws and all of the things I wish that had been redone.
So what made this one not make you feel that way?
A lot of this record, unlike things I've done in the past, it was kind of spearheaded by Tim Lee that we were going to go in there, play the songs right then, lay it down, try and do no overdubs, no frills, no congas, you know, no ukuleles.
No castanets.
No, none of that. You know, just keep it as bare bones as possible. And that's the way the first five songs were recorded. And then I decided I wasn't going to do music anymore for 3 years or four. And then I just got my guitar out one night and I just got to thinking about it. I don't like things that are unfinished. And I went to lunch with someone, actually someone that I've never liked, who was friends with someone that I really don't like. And I got to thinking about that person from the past, and I sat down and wrote a really good pop song just right there, done within an hour. And I'm like, you know, because I guess with me, I was thinking at my age, what do I really have anymore to write or sing about? And it was at that point that I realized that I still have a lot of things to say that I need to say and I want to say.
And this song is not the opening track we heard, but what is the name of the song you're referring to?
Would You Even Know Me Now is the name of that song, which we could play that, whatever songs you want to. I'll just say that that song ends with the line, and I hope you've had a disappointing life. That felt really, really good to get that out.
Did it feel as good to get it out as it feels now, or do you look back and now and say, okay, well, I probably don't need to say that again, or no, I'd say it again.
No. I listened to the song over and over again. I'm like a little five-year-old clapping my hands and stuff. It makes me feel great.
What happened? Okay, so you mentioned like 3 or 4 years ago, you reached a point where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Do you remember the exact moment when that sort of realization came?
I had a horrible work experience that went on for 2.5 years that ended suddenly. I saw that coming. And the fallout from that was, I'm someone that doesn't trust people very much anyway. And the fallout from that was I felt suddenly very, I didn't trust anything or anyone, and I was just very negative. And that's when I stopped. It was just, I couldn't write anything. I was so caught up in all that and all those feelings. So for a couple of years after that, I mean, I actually put the guitar in the bag in the closet.
Calluses gone.
Yeah. Yeah, no calluses, like little smooth hands. But, And that just did it. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to do this. And some of that was money. I'm very pragmatic. You know, I'm not the sleeping on the couch artist. I mean, that's why I stopped doing the Judy Batch years ago. I'm like, you know, I'm not a gambler. I can't gamble my life away. So some of it was money and some of it was funding. It's like, I'm not in the position to be putting any more money into this kind of stuff. Because there's no money in it.
Well, the music business hasn't gotten any better.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. And I guess some of it is liking professionally where I am now and being in a tax bracket since I don't have any wives or any children or any of that. I don't even have a dog or a cat. That the amount of taxes that I pay is, I can't even look at it. I don't look at my pay stubs. I don't open them. With that in mind, I thought, well, I can wrap my mind around this in that it's a tax write-off. That's it. That's what it is. Oh, yeah, it's a tax write-off. It's a tax write-off. And once I started thinking about it that way, it completely freed my mind to start writing music again and really doing whatever I wanted to, probably a little bit freer than I've ever been before. It's kind of like, you know, it's like my gift to myself. It's my midlife crisis.
Do the lyrics reflect that?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they do very much. Some of them are contemplative. Some of them are actually a little trashy.
If you've just joined us, this is Flipside. I'm Todd Steed talking to Jeff Highschool, who many people here in Knoxville know very well, going back to the Judy Bats and, of course, beyond. He's done a lot of music since then as well, including his new recording, which we're listening to tonight. What can you tell me about that opening track of this evening's Flipside that we played?
That the song, that Just Can't Say song, is really an assignment from John T. Baker. He said, we need another kind of thick rock kind of song. I said, oh, we do? He goes, yes, I think we do. I said, okay. And 2 days later, that song was finished. I actually went home that night and almost finished that song, just wrote it. It's like, well, I got to write a rocker. I'm going to give myself 2 days to do it. Got to have it done. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I have no idea what chords I'm playing.
It's probably good.
Yeah, I really don't know what I'm playing. So some of this with John was me. I would set my cell phone up and set it up in a way that he could see me playing the fingering on the neck because I couldn't really tell him what it was. And I would send him a file of that. And then on this particular song, I went over and we did a click track. And as awful a guitarist as I am, I put the idea down. And then I came back the next week and he and Gray Comer had just, you know, tricked it out. That's what they do. That's the way a lot of these songs came together.
That one has a kind of a psychedelic feel too.
Yeah, and what I liked about working with John and Gray is I always wait if I have an idea about something or I hear something that I don't like and I'm in a studio. I wait for the people I'm working with to get around to noticing it, and they always do. And also if they feel an influence. And the minute I got done playing that for John, he said, you know, he goes, this could have a little bit of a My Bloody Valentine thing going on. I said, that's exactly what it has. I said, I was just wanting to see if you would pick up on that. So that influenced the guitars he put on it. And then when I went back over there and put, God, I think there may be 14 tracks of background vocals on it, one of which was some atonal. Well, you heard that.
Yeah.
That, you know,
swirling kind of thing.
That thing that goes all the way up into that falsetto. And he came up with that. He goes, can you sing that? He goes, I don't know. You probably can't sing that high. And, you know, no, that's not the thing to say to me. I was like, yeah, I can sing that. We will sing that right now. And it even shocked me because I'm lucky enough to still have a 3-octave range. But I was like, I couldn't believe that when we got it done. I actually did most of these vocals on the latter 6 of these songs or 7. They were actually done in the hallway of the studio. And a lot of it is just coming up with it on the spot and me singing nonstop for 2.5 hours. And actually with my hands on either side of the hallway on the wall so that I can completely focus enough to finish it. That's how long I would go on singing.
So this is about as far opposite as you can get from the original idea of, like, just no castanets, stripped down.
Well, you know. Some of these songs are.
Yeah.
But then, you know, some of the songs are very, the ones I did with Tim and Susan, even they ended up with some layered guitars on them. But I would say the songs that I wrote with Baker, or that I wrote, that I took to him, they did get a little bit more involved. And I think that was just my mood, you know, because I've always had a problem a little bit with the fact that I sing so well, maybe too well and too much. And with some of those songs, you know, we got in the studio and I'm like, I hear that background vocal and I can sing it and it's my money. I'm paying for it. I'm over here with $500 or $600 cash in my pocket. And if I want to put 3 or 4 part harmony background vocals on this, I think that's what I'm going to do.
It's your midlife crisis.
Yeah, and I was just like, and then we get done with it, and I was like, is that too much? And Gray's like, no, dude, that is not too much. That's the bomb, you know, so.
What can you tell me about deep appreciation? And let me say this. I've been listening to music a long time.
Mm-hmm.
When I see a title like that, I haven't heard the song yet, I see a title like that, I feel that is a smoke and mirrors, that there's something else
well,
coming.
You know, when I was in the shower kind of humming around and I came up with a line, it's a deep appreciation. I mean, Todd, what is something like that going to be about? I mean, I had a couple of ideas, and then I realized what I really wanted it to be about, and I'm like, I don't think you're supposed to write a pop song about that. And of course, the minute I thought that, I, you know, poured myself a glass of wine, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go there.
Yeah, I'm sure the voice of Gray Comer's in the background. Yeah, that's okay, that's okay.
I got sweaty. I was so, when I sung that lead vocal, they didn't say anything. And I kept waiting for them to say something, and they never did. And my face was so red, and I was so embarrassed when I sung that. Once I got the lead vocal out, and we put some beautiful back, I just, when we get to the break on that, I said, John, you know, I want to go completely Brian Wilson meets the Monkees, just over the top nuts on this. Are you okay with that? And, of course, Gray was already over me because, you know, doing the drums. And he did the drums right there that day. You know, he said, I thought this had four parts, but I think it actually has nine. This is wearing me out. But I'm going to tell you, in an hour and like 12 minutes, we had that drum track. That's how good he is. I think that subject matter and then putting, when it goes into the break, I still giggle every time I hear it. Because of just what the song is really about. Which is not something I'm really into, but if you look at a lot of stuff online, you see that all the time. And I'm like, that is crazy stuff. Like, you know, not just physically, but psychologically, what is going on there? And so I had to write a song about it.
Let's hear it. I can't wait. Just joined us, you're listening to the radio or perhaps a computer. That's from a new recording by High School, and it's called Arriving. We heard Deep Appreciation. You can figure it out on your own. Jeff High School is here with me. And so this new CD's got a lot of different moods on it, and it's got a lot of different people on it as well. A lot of a variety of people, cello players, And you got Jeff Bills on here.
Yeah, Jeff.
Have you all ever played together? I know you've known each other forever.
No.
But have you ever played together?
Never have. Same thing. Like, I never played with Baker, never played with Gray Comer. Yeah, I had when I first started this project with John, that the one song that I had written, Would You Even Know Me Now, I had done my little, set up my cell phone so he could see what chords I'm playing, since I don't know what I'm playing. And I was at work, and I got a text from Jeff Bills, and it said, "We're making your stuff sound good." And I was like, well, how, you know, what's he talking about? Is he over at the studio? How'd he get involved? He wasn't invited. You know, what's going on? And then, you know, next, you know, I was like, you know, sent a little, you know, WTF. And I was like, you know, so he got back to me and he said, yeah, we're going to make you sound good. And I was just, and that's so nice. He had gotten together with John. And
so you didn't say, hey, Jeff, you want to play a little
no,
bit?
No, he heard through somebody else. I don't even think I'd talked to him about it directly. He had heard that I was had written some new songs and were going to record them. And he just it was his day off, and he just went over there and learned a song and did the drums. And I was just so flattered by that.
That's actually better than asking them to do it. It's just, hey, I'll call you when it's finished.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was really interesting, and he played on another song. Came in and did that one, which very pleased with both of them. But yeah, that was such a nice little gift that day that, you know, he was a, well, I just, you know, that he's spending, you know, he's not like me. I'm just me on my day off. You know, he has a wife and a child, and I don't know, they got another cat.
Yeah, they got cats.
Oh God. But so, you know, he has all that going on, and, you know, he takes the time on his days off to go over there and learn one of my songs and put a drum track down. And I was just, that's very nice.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, because that would have been very awkward if you hadn't.
Oh, no, I walked in there. Every time I walked into the studio over there, they would just, well, you ready? They'd play something, and I'm like, dang.
Investigate this method.
It's just fantastic.
It sounds like a lot less work, actually, for you.
Really, it is. And, you know, so many things in my life I like to do alone. I go to the gym alone. I bike alone. I do back-breaking outdoor projects at my house alone. And people know that. My brother knows that. I don't want anybody around helping me, because it's my thing. And music is the one thing where I really enjoy collaborating. And John and Gray have just been so, it made me feel kind of strange. They were just like, we so appreciate you making us a part of your process. And, you know, I appreciate them. But obviously not a lot of people do that. They go into the studio like, you know, I want it to sound like this. This is what we're doing, and this person's going to play this part, and we've rehearsed it 50 times and on and on. That's not the way it was. I went over there with just basic chords badly played and a lead vocal line and said, y'all do, this is kind of what I was thinking, but you don't even have to think about that. You do what you think the song needs. And then I would just go back over there on my next day off, and it's like, wow.
It's like a different way of doing it.
Completely. Really? I've never done it that way before, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, you have to trust people, and this, which goes back to your earlier statement of lacking maybe trust. You went through a period of not trusting people. Have you sort of shifted in that consciousness, at least in music?
In music, yes, I have. And I'm softened a little bit here the last couple of years.
what is Fireflies? That's a soft sort of title. What is that about?
I wrote that 3 or 4 years ago. Okay. I was just sitting having some wine. It was evening, and I saw the first firefly, and I had a moment where I just thought, you know, what a great life I have. And there is somebody that I've been involved with for a long time, and that person had stopped by earlier. There you have it. And I'm like, you know, I have the perfect life. What I'm musing on is the fact that it's such a perfect afternoon, however, there's going to be a point sometime soon in the future when the world is going to end and all of this is going to be gone. So that the song's about the moment.
Did you ever have that feeling in your 20s as well? Or, maybe some people never reach a point where they go, oh, life is great, or life is great right now.
No, I never. Maybe there are people in their 20s that have that, but with me, no. I never had any, like even back when I was in the Judy Bats, I never had thoughts like that. I would say that that started in my 30s. I know I would go down and do something. I did some crazy landscaping stuff for my mother that involved three dump truck loads of fill dirt came out there, and I moved them by hand during a period when I wasn't working with an old wheelbarrow that went on for a week. But I would sit out there and drink a big old, you know, PBR and just go, you know, this has been such a great day. I'm so exhausted. I really can't walk right. But I have really enjoyed this day, and I've really got, you know, my mom's really nice. Good dinner. This is a perfect day.
You're listening to Flipside. We're talking to Jeff Heiskell. Thanks for joining us, by the way, Jeff. We're almost out of time, but I'm kind of curious to see, you know, as you've progressed through the timeline of your life, how are you changing? I feel it's, in a way, as you get older, it's easier to see what you don't like and get rid of it.
I think it took me quite a bit of time to get back to where I was when I was a very small child, which is I really didn't care much for the other children. I didn't care what they were doing, what they were wearing. I really preferred to play in my room or in the backyard by myself with my little toys and not have them around. And that's kind of who I've become as an adult. I need a lot of me time doing my own thing, and I really don't care what anybody else is doing. And a lot of times, that's part of this music, is I don't think I was in the mood to share my music there for 3 or 4 years. And there's a lot of things that I do that I really don't need to share with anyone other than a picture on Facebook. And that's fine. I can share that on there and they can look at it, but I don't want them coming over to my house and looking at it. You know what I'm saying?
I do, actually. I think almost everybody needs that, whether they admit it or not. Some people are afraid of being alone, but I think alone time is something that in our society is just sort of... It's kind of looked down on in some sense, you know?
I think it is, too. I think maybe it's because, you know, we're no longer an agrarian culture. The whole concept of someone being an artisan, a lot of that is gone. But I think having a task, whether it's something artistic or not, even though I think just about everything's artistic, whether it's cooking or pouring concrete, having a task to focus on, and it's something that you are doing, and you're doing it alone, and it's just you, like it's you in the concrete, or it's you in the guitar, and that's it. I think that's really important. I think it gets back to something that probably our species was almost evolved toward that I think is gone now, and I don't think a lot of people know how to do that, and I see it all the time, and I think that's really sad.
You hear a lot about extinction and the world is coming to an end. The oceans, they are rising, the temperatures are climbing and it just won't bend. I'm loving that the summer's finally here. I'm liking how the days they fly. I'm lucky in that you keep dropping by into my bare fireflies. I'd never try to keep you jar. I'd rather let you drift away. You remain a golden blinking light on even the darkest day. I'm loving that the summer's finally here. I'm liking how the days they fly. Lucky in that you keep dropping by into my pair of fireflies. Fireflies. eventually the cosmic shoe will drop. All of this will disappear. Starting signals coming to a stop. We're trafficking in all that's dear. I'm loving that the summer's finally here. I'm liking how the days they fly. I'm lucky in that you keep dropping by me to not bear a
Fireflies by Heiskell. Our guest this evening on Flipside, Jeff Heiskell. His new record is called Arriving, and it indeed has arrived. I'm Todd Steed. Have a great evening.